And welcome back to Politics and Issues. It is now 8:25 on this Thursday morning. Still 9 degrees in downtown Elgin. Not that that should be changing anytime soon. But, you know, one can always hope. And we're back here with Politics and Issues, and we do have a guest on the phone this morning, Tom.
Yes, it's 8:25, and joining us by phone is 16th District, Illinois, Congressman Don Manzullo. Good morning, Congressman.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing real well. Why don't you begin by telling us, you know, give us a geographic location for the 16th District.
Well, we have most of McHenry County, with the exception of the northeast corner, which is in Mrs. Bean's district, and then run all the way west to Fulton on the Mississippi River, and then all the way north to the Wisconsin border, and all the way back east again to the top of McHenry County. It's about 750,000 people. It's one of the largest congressional districts in the country, 7 full counties and 2 half counties.
And you're our neighbor just to the north.
Well, we live on a farm outside of Byron.
Oh, that's not too far.
It's cold out here.
Yeah. Yes,
it is. It's always colder in the country.
Well, that's some beautiful area up there, mm-hmm. Congressman. Why don't we get into it? The Congress has passed and the President has signed the economic stimulus bill, law now.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to our listeners what was in there, and you're a Republican, and all the Republicans in the House voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
First of all, you know, we are in a very, very serious economic situation, recession, call it what you want, with deflation. And there are some people that are in denial that we're in this position. I'm certainly not, because the largest city in our congressional district, Rockford, is pushing 13% unemployment. In Boone County, where the Chrysler plant is located, has that or more on it. And we were actually all looking forward to working with the new president on a well-crafted bill that would actually stimulate the economy. I mean, that is, you know, kickstart manufacturing jobs and auto and housing. And a week after President Obama was inaugurated, he visited the Republican conference. This is all the members of the Republican House. And I really believe in with all sincerity, wanted to work together on a bill. The problem is that Nancy Pelosi, who's the speaker, had her own ideas, and she decided that she was going to be the main draftsman of that bill. So the Republicans never really had an opportunity to do what President Obama wanted us to do, was to have a united Congress come before the people with a well-drafted stimulus bill that would kickstart the economy and have the public in agreement, because that would have shown confidence in the bill and that would have exuded confidence in the American people. So the Republicans put forth an alternative. We said, look, we agree there's a problem, but let's do this. And we ended up with a bill that would cost half the amount of the Democratic bill, create twice as many jobs. This is according to President Obama's advisors. It had a $7,500 tax credit on any home purchase, not just first-time purchase as your primary home. It had about a $1,500 tax break if you wanted to buy a new car. Extended unemployment compensation, and the two lowest tax brackets would have been lowered so that average joint fighters in America would have saved about $3,300 in taxes. And that was our proposal, but our proposal never really saw the light of day. And when Mrs. Pelosi drafted her bill without any input from the Republicans, and the Senate Democrats essentially did the same thing, with the exception of 3 Republicans who tried to do what they thought was best. It ended up being a Democratic bill, and it was very, very unfortunate. There were more bipartisan votes against the final bill because 7 Democrats voted against it, then there were bipartisan votes in favor of the total bill because only three Republicans voted in favor of it. Those are the ugly politics of it, and that's extremely unfortunate because the stimulus bill, in the end, was not drawn to really stimulate the economy. We have a Chrysler facility here in Belvedere that makes the Compass, the Patriot, and the Caliber, the three smallest Chrysler cars, built on an international platform, and before the economy went sour, was exporting 47% of its product. I mean, this is a highly competitive automobile. And the thought is this: if we could have given everybody, say, a $5,000 voucher to go buy a new car, Tom, would you like a new car?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I think I need one.
Yeah, well, we've got three just finishing up colleges and and you want to see our stable of beat up caravans. And but you could have gone to a Chrysler dealer, for example. He would have given you a $5,000 voucher, and you could have bought a $20,000 Jeep Patriot for $15,000, or less than $300 a month over 5 years. To stimulate the economy, we need to get the means of production going again. You need to get people back to work, and right away. And once people get back to work making cars, then the state and local governments, instead of coming to Washington, trying to get mail that money that does not exist to refill their sales tax coffers, would get their sales tax coffers refilled by sales tax coming off the sale of new automobiles. Are you with me?
Absolutely.
That's what a stimulus is. That's what we thought was going to happen, because then the original equipment manufacturers go back to work. I mean, even the lawyer was sitting in his office, a couple come in to make a will because somebody went back and got their job back. And so we're scratching our heads. Why all this talk about creating new jobs when we have present jobs that just need orders to keep them going? And then likewise, in the housing market, the Senate actually had a provision with a $15,000 tax credit for home buyers to buy a primary residence. And I want to tell you guys, here in our area, you can buy a brand new house for $150,000. That would have been brought it down to $135,000 before all the haggling goes on, and that would have amounted to really kickstarting the housing market. More people would be buying houses, less homes would come off the foreclosure list. The people involved in the building industry and remodeling industry and all the major hardwares, Home Depot, et cetera, would go back to work. The realtors would start getting commissions, et cetera. Instead, the conference report agreed upon by the Senate and the House took the two biggest ticket items, housing and cars, and watered them down so much so that there's only a $300 stimulus to go buy a new car. That's hardly sufficient. And the home credit ended up being $8,000 only for first-time home buyers, and only if you bought a house before August 1st. Well, that won't help, because to move the market, it's people that are going from the first to the second homes because their families are getting larger, etc. And so we just scratched our heads and said, we don't see $800 billion here. And that's the reason the Republicans all voted against it, is because it's so violated basic economic free market principles. I mean, and then the stimulus bill just got loaded up. I mean, as you go through it, you find all kinds of things. For example, if somebody loses their job, there's a provision that's called COBRA. It allows the insured employee to continue his or her insurance for 18 months, provided that person pays the premium. The bill says the federal government will pay, I think it's either 50 or 65% of the premium, but only as to those businesses that have more than 20 employees. Well, guess who lost out on that one? The small businesses. and it was a peer who was writing the bill.
Congressman, I've got a question about this COBRA portion of the legislation.
Right.
Other than being a show host, I'm also a practicing accountant, and one of the questions that I have from my accounting standpoint is, if the government is going to pick up 65% of the cost of the first 9 months COBRA for that employee,
right?
How is that going to happen? Is the employer going to have to write a check for 100% of the premium to the insurance carrier and then wait for the government to give them either a check for 65%?
No, I don't think so, because the employer is under no obligation now to continue paying the insurance. I think that the employee would still be carried on the policy,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a group rating and things of that nature. I don't know how the mechanics, I just don't know. And that's been one of the problems is, for example, we called the Department of Education 2 days ago. We've been having citizens forums all across the district, in fact, six of them this week. To have them give us an idea from their legislative office as to how these programs, education programs, would be administered. They're not sure, and I'm not critical of them because they're good people. They're just trying to figure out how do you go through this bill that has 33 new programs, increases the spending in at least 70 programs, and be able to actually figure out how to move that amount of money into the stream of the economy. That's the problem with the bill. I mean, there are some good things in there. For example, are you familiar with IDEA, which is the program that's used in schools to take care of disabled children, individuals with disabilities, individual IDEA, and. There's been this promise by the federal government to pay X amount for the federal share, but that's not happened. So there was money in there to help out that program, but the question is that really a stimulus? Is that something that could have been programmed in the regular budget bill that's starting to come before the Congress within the next couple of weeks? And so many items in that bill, Tom, should have been reflected in the regular budget bill as to which you have to figure out how to pay for it, as opposed to the stimulus bill, which goes directly to the deficit and then to the national debt.
Congressman, the one question, and we're talking about, what, $700 plus billion?
Yeah, almost $800
billion. Where is the $800 billion coming from? There isn't like a secret bank account somewhere there's $800 billion
stashed away. It's coming from the printing presses. The money goes directly to the deficit. I mean, it's period. There's nothing in there that's offset by cutting programs or switching taxes or raising taxes. You know, so I mean that's why we're very much concerned about the size of this bill. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there. The NEA gets $50 million. You can argue all day whether or not the National Endowments for the Arts is a worthy program, but you don't argue it in the context that if you prevail, the money goes straight to the deficit. It should be paid for in the regular budget bill. That's why the Republicans all voted against it, because regular budgeted items should have been done through the committee hearing with the opportunity to weigh each of the 10,000 federal programs against each other and see which ones get funded in the end.
Let's go back to taxes for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a little article in front of me showing some of the tax provisions that are going to take place because of the stimulus law. Workers are expected to see about $13 extra in their paychecks. There'll be an adjustment of the withholding tax tables sometime in June.
That's what that's going to cost. You're an accountant.
It's going to cost a lot.
That's right. Go ahead.
The $1,000 child tax credit is extended to more low-income families.
Then it becomes refundable,
mm-hmm.
Which means that it's negative income tax, which means that people who are not paying taxes will be getting tax refunds.
Okay, but that has always been a refundable credit.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think so. Not the $1,000 tax credit. It goes towards the whole package of earned income. But I don't think in itself it's a refundable, but I'm not sure.
Okay. The alternative minimum tax has been adjusted, and that's something Congress plays with every single year.
That's correct.
And never solves.
It goes to show the stupidity of Congress. Back in the 70s, there were about 25 or 50 families in America that were not paying taxes. You know, everybody says, oh, what about, you know, Bates, you know, and all these people over here, you know, why does Gates not pay taxes? And everybody's worried about Ross Perot and Bill Gates. You know, I mean, I don't know them. I've never met them. I'm sure they're nice guys. But you could work on the tax code all you want. They'll put their team of lawyers to work, and they'll still end up paying less taxes. So Congress, in all of its wisdom, passed something called the alternative minimum tax, and said that everybody ought to pay at least some tax in order to be patriotic, in the words of the new vice president. So that became law, but it was never indexed for inflation. So what you have now, especially, Tom, in larger families, now you can have a family earning as little as $70,000 a year with several kids, and they run out of deductions because of the children, and so the alternative minimum tax kicks in. So it's grossly unfair. This year, this tax year, 21 million more Americans would have been exposed to paying the alternative minimum tax. So every year for the past 3 or 4 years, instead of repealing the alternative minimum tax, there's been this one-year patch that says, well, we'll just hold off and not impose it on the new people this year. I mean, again, that should have been a part of the regular budget process and not part of the stimulus.
Congressman, I know you have to leave at about 8:45, so we're going to give you a couple of minutes. You know, if you were the guy in charge, what would you change, and how do you see this economic stimulus playing out?
Well, I unfortunately don't see that much of the economy being stimulated. If I were the guy in charge, and I think if President Obama really had it his way, he would have called the leaders into the White House and said, look, guys, the nation's in a serious economic crisis. We're going to have something that's actually going to start jobs and start them right away. And maybe we will have two or three stimulus bills coming down the line, if necessary. But we've got to restart manufacturing. We've got to get people to start buying cars again, because pouring in money from the top won't save the car industry. You can put all the money you want in from the top, but if you don't increase sales, you know, the economy simply will not take off. I think if he had gained control of this thing from the beginning, he would have had there would have been a much more modest bill. You wouldn't have had all the people screaming about Nancy Pelosi getting $30 million to protect the fresh marsh or the salt marsh mouse. That wouldn't have been in there. And even though he said there's no pork, there's no earmark, it's loaded with thousands of earmarks drawn by the people, by the handful of people that drew this bill in the middle of the night and submitted it to members of Congress at 11 p.m. on Wednesday evening, less than 10 hours before we could vote on it. The bill's 1,000 pages. It came out to $800 million a page. And how fast can you read?
Did anybody read it?
Well, I tried to, but I was going to stay up all night. If I had stayed up all night, 10 hours with 1,000 pages, that would be 100 pages, 100 pages an hour, or what, 40 seconds a page, and every 40 seconds you're going through $800 million. There's no way conceivable anybody could have figured out what was in that bill coming out that late. And the Democrats had adopted in their rules that no bill could be voted on unless it was laid on the table for 48 hours, which means you had 48 hours to read it, study it, find out what's wrong. Well, they passed a special rule that said we're going to waive the 48-hour rule. And then we got to the floor. There was only 90 minutes of total debate. 45 minutes for the Democrats, 45 minutes for the Republicans. How could you possibly represent people in your congressional district when, number one, the bill had never gone through the committee process so you could vet each of the provisions as to their impact on the stimulus? And, Tom, actually, that could have been done in 7 weeks. You know, because we were sworn in on January 6th, when the committee process was bypassed, when there was no bipartisanship because of the rush on it, the bill was written in the middle of the night, there were so many pages you don't know what's in it, and now we're presented to it. In fact, the stock market fell, as you recall, the day that this bill came out. If Wall Street were so exuberant about what was in this bill, the market would have reacted in the other direction. So what we do is we continue to find out what's in the bill, try to see if there's something in it that will stimulate the economy. Meanwhile, I'm working on a bill to kickstart the housing industry with a $15,000 tax credit, not for just first-time home buyers, but anybody who wants to move into a primary home. We will continue to do the things that amount to the free market approach to get people working again so they can start paying their mortgages and not be in default.
Congressman, we know you have to leave. If people would like some additional information, how would they get in contact with you?
Well, it's we have a website,